Will you bow as we pray for our service? God, we thank you so much for our children. Lord, you have blessed us so richly with families and our church family. And God, we just can't give you enough praise and thanks for that this morning. And God, as we prepare our hearts to dive into your word, Lord, I pray that we are in tune with you this morning, that we can fully focus on you. Lord, speak through your word to us this morning. Lord, as Brother Andrew has prepared and you have given him the words to preach, Lord, let our ears hear them with clarity this morning. Lord, that we can be the disciples you've called us to be, to go out in our communities and make more disciples for you. We ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Are you free this morning? I hope so. Kids, if you're heading to Kids Rock this morning, you can go with Miss Charlotte out this door over here. If you're not, hope you grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Daniel chapter 1. Old Testament, after Psalms, after Jeremiah and Ezekiel, somewhere in there, you'll find Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. So I had not originally planned to be in Daniel this morning. I told you last week we'd be in Acts. Dustin already told me I flip-flopped on him this morning. So I flip-flopped on you guys too. I'm sorry. As Dustin said earlier, our students, our 6th through 12th graders, are at Disciple Now this weekend, along with several of our adults. And they went down. Usually Disciple Now takes place with a bunch of other churches here in the community, but COVID. And so anyway, Robbie audibled, and they went down to Laguna Christian Retreat down in Panama City this weekend. It's about 30 of them down there. They've been studying the Word all weekend this weekend, and me and my family were with them Friday night, and we were in Daniel chapter 1. So as I was preparing for that this week, Dustin, you stole my thunder, brother. God's word is relevant. It just is. Wherever we turn to it, it's relevant. And so we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1 for two reasons, really. I just felt like the Lord was leading in this direction as I got ready this week for us as well as for them. And two, it really is relevant to where we are today as Christians. You'll see in a moment, the book of Daniel, its namesake, Daniel's a young man. He's in a foreign land. He is not home. He's faced with all kinds of pressures that would push him away from his God. And the Lord gives him the strength to stand firm in the face of all that pressure. And Christians, we're not home yet. This is not our home. Praise God, this is not our home. We do have a home. We're just not yet there yet, okay? And so this book, Daniel, has a lot to say to us this morning. I guess the third reason I would say this is I want you guys to know what our students are doing. Some of you know because you're involved with them, but some of you don't because you're involved in other ministries and other things, and you don't necessarily know what's going on with our students. Well, our students are in the book of Daniel all weekend this weekend, wrestling with how to live in faith in the midst of a world that is constantly pushing them away from Jesus. And so we're going to be in the Word where they've been in the Word this weekend. So you can kind of catch a glimpse. So if you have friends that have teenagers, or if you're a teenager, or you have children that are teenagers, and they're not involved with a church, with a ministry that's aimed at them, just know this is what Pastor Robbie and Kim, the other adults, this is how they're leading them. They're leading them in the Word to follow Jesus, be strengthened by the Word, equipped with the Word, and hopefully lead other teenagers to do the same. So, you guys ready to dive in Daniel 1? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the first 8 verses, get a glimpse of what's going on, pray, and then pull 2 pieces of truth out of this first chapter of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, with understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of this time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand your word, what it meant for the situation that Daniel was in then, and what it means for us now. Holy Spirit, we ask that for those who are among us, who are listening in different ways, Lord, we pray that if there's any among us that don't know you, have yet to trust you for whatever reason, God, we pray that you would lead them to repentance and faith in Jesus alone today. And for the rest of us that have a relationship with you, Father, we pray that you would use our time in your word this morning to stoke our love for you, our trust in you, and to make us more like you. Amen. So here's these first seven verses. I said eight a moment ago. These first seven verses give us the background of what's going on in the book of Daniel. God's people, his nation, and Judah have been invaded by a neighboring nation called Babylon. Babylon was the chief world power at the time. They could pretty much go where they wanted, when they wanted, and take over whatever country they wanted. Well, at this point in time, they chose Judah, God's people, and they went into Jerusalem, the capital where the temple of God was. They desecrated it and took objects of worship out of God's temple and took them back to Babylon to use them however they saw fit. They gave the people of Israel who stayed in Jerusalem directions and how to serve Babylon from there, but they kind of treated Israel, the people of God, like a buffet. They said they wanted particular ones to come back with them to Babylon to serve the kingdom of Babylon in Babylon. Learn the language, learn the culture, be educated for 3 years. And the thought was, by the end of that 3 years, those people that they brought into Babylon from Israel would be Babylonians, heart, soul, and mind. So they didn't just want to pick any old Israelites. They picked the youngest, the brightest, the strongest. They took them back to Babylon. Today, we would call this human trafficking. That's what it was then. They went in, they took the human beings they wanted for their purposes, brought them back to their homeland to use however they saw fit. In this particular case, it was to serve the king and his purposes. So they brought them into the king's court, fed them with the king's food, taught them the king's language, taught them the king's culture, so 3 years later, they would be at the king's service. And Daniel was one of these young people. They were teenagers, most of them, 14, 15 years old. Daniel and his three friends that it tells us at the end of verse 7 were there. I want you to think about their situation for a moment. These young people were pulled out of their homeland, away from their families, perhaps never to see their families again. Brought into a foreign land, and now they're subject to people who most likely killed a lot of their people from where they're from, the nation of Israel, of Judah. So they were their enemies, but now they're supposed to be subject to them, and they're being treated well. All they have to do is submit to the king of Babylon, eat his food. And by the way, the king's food was really good food. It was what he ate. They were served, not what the lay people in Babylon ate, but what the king ate and his wine. All they had to do was just submit. Submit and enjoy the luxury of being in Babylon and forget about Israel. Submit and learn the new language. Submit and learn the new culture. Submit and worship the new gods. And they would be A-okay. This was Daniel's situation. And they had a choice. They could submit and enjoy the luxury in their new lives in Babylon, or they could choose to live in faith. As we'll see in the rest of this chapter, Daniel chose to live in faith. And this morning we're going to pull two characteristics of what it looks like to live in faith out of the rest of this chapter this morning. You guys ready? All right, let's keep reading. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king.' Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see.' So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Let's pause here for a second. Verse 8, Daniel made a decision. He decided to live in faith. What this looked like for Daniel was, Daniel was not going to partake in the food and the drink that was being brought to him. Now remember, this is the king's food and the king's wine. So it's the best of the best. Daniel decided not to defile himself with the king's food and the king's wine. There's probably a host of reasons Daniel decided not to do this, that it would have defiled him, disabled him from being able to worship his God in purity if he partook. And it may have been because of the clean and unclean laws that the people of Israel followed. It probably was partially because of that. But he probably could have been able to find some food among the king's food that would have been okay for him to eat. It may have been because of the fact that some of the meat wasn't cooked well done. In other words, some of the laws that were given to Israel in Leviticus and in that area says for the Israelites not to eat any food with the blood still in it, because the blood was representative of that animal's life. But Daniel probably could have been able to find some meat that was well done. The primary problem with this food and this wine was that the fact that before it was brought to the king and to Daniel and the other youths, was it was used in worship. It was offered in worship to the Babylonian gods. In idolatrous worship. So when the king ate this food that was offered to his little g gods, he was partaking in that worship. And the other teenagers that were over there from Judah and from Jerusalem, if they had eaten this food and drank this wine, they would have been participating and worshiping other little g gods besides the one true big G God. So Daniel decided to live in faith and not defile himself with the king's food and wine. Now, this would have been hard to do, because that would have been some pretty good food. This also would have been hard to do, because I want you to see something. This would have been easy for Daniel to look at his situation and go, I'm not even sure if my God's in control anymore. Like, look at what's happened. I don't even know if my family's alive or dead back in Jerusalem. I don't even know if the temple where I go to worship my God is still standing back in Jerusalem. I've been dragged to this new nation. I could just sit back, relax. For all I know, God's not even active anymore. So I might as well worship these new gods that I'm being presented with. But he didn't do that, because Daniel knew something. You can write this down in your Bibles and go back and look at it. It's probably in your reference notes if you have a reference Bible. But in Isaiah chapter 39, 5 through 7, Isaiah, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah prophesied something about the future of Jerusalem and its people. Isaiah said this to the king at the time, Hezekiah. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, all that which your fathers have stored up till this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now Daniel lived somewhere around 600 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah wrote these words about 150 years before Daniel was born. Daniel would have known about these words that Isaiah wrote down. And Daniel would have said, while he was wondering what in the world was going on, is everything out of God's control? He would have been reminded by these words in the prophet Isaiah that God indeed was in control. In fact, he knew this very event where Babylon came into Jerusalem, took the things of the temple, and took some of the people, including Daniel, from Jerusalem and took them back to Babylon. That very event was going to happen. So Daniel sat back, and while he could have said, nothing is in control, nothing, everything is out of God's control now. Nothing is in his control anymore. He didn't. He knew God's word, and he said, God's still in control. I'm still going to honor him. So here's our first point this morning. Living in faith is recognizing that God is actively in control. You're in the back of an ambulance with a loved one on the way to the hospital. Everything seems out of control, but living in faith, you're able to see that God indeed is still in control. You go, 2021's here. It was supposed to be better in 2020. It doesn't appear to be. And in living in faith, we can look at God's word and say, though it appears he's not in control, indeed he is. I want you to see something else, though. God wasn't just in control of the big picture, like what the nations were doing, what Babylon was doing to Judah, and all of those things. He was in control of those things, but he wasn't just in control of the big picture. He was doing things for Daniel. Look at verse 9. Daniel says no in verse 8. In verse 9 it says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. So the man that was in charge of him had favor for Daniel. He liked Daniel because God put that favor inside that man's heart for Daniel. God's not simply in control of the big picture. He's actively in control in your life. So Christian, like, the Lord knows what's going on in your life today. He knows what decisions you're trying to make. He knows what challenges you're faced with. He knows what's worrying you when you lay your head down on the pillow at night. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he's actively involved in your life. Isn't that comforting? Giving you precisely what you need when you need it. Just as he did for Daniel. Now you may be sitting here and going like, but I'm not a Christian. And that's why we constantly invite you to place faith in Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross for your sins, rose up from the dead for you so that you could have a relationship with him. The same kind of relationship that Daniel had with God. You can have that kind of relationship with the Lord through his son, Jesus. Isn't that good news? So our first point this morning is this. Living in faith is recognizing God is actively in control, even when your eyes can't see it. Amen? We need to remember that every once in a while, don't we? Let's keep reading. Let's remember what we've read so far. So in verses 8 through 10, Daniel says, "No. The chief of the eunuchs that's in charge of Daniel and the other youths that they've brought over from Jerusalem, now in the king's palace in Babylon, he's supposed to take care of these young men and young women for 3 years. They're supposed to be good, strong, healthy, smarter, and indoctrinated with Babylonian culture and Babylonian religion at the end of 3 years, and he'll present them to the king." And so when Daniel says, "I don't want to eat this food and drink this wine," the chief eunuch goes, "Well, that would be fine, except when the day comes that I present you to the king, I'll lose my head. So I can't just not let you eat." So Daniel says, "Just feed us vegetables and water for 10 days and see if we're not better off in 10 days than the others that are eating the king's food." So Daniel, in an effort to honor the Lord, presents a kind of test to the eunuch. And here's a question that the eunuch would have, and perhaps a question that the others that would follow along with Daniel had: will I really be satisfied with vegetables and water and strong enough to do what they're asking me to do with vegetables and water? You guys know about vegetables and water, right? That's what you do when you're trying to lose some weight. You like commit real hard. Some of you did it about a month ago, right? You like cut out all the sugar, cut out all the carbs, and all of a sudden you're eating a bunch of green stuff. And some days it's not that fun trying to be healthy in that way. But you don't gain weight when you're eating that way, right? Right? You're trying to do the opposite when people do that. The amazing thing is, look at verse 12. "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now this is a supernatural event. Let's be clear. Like, they were being served barbecue and wine. But Daniel and his buddies that decided not to defile themselves and be faithful to the Lord were eating water and vegetables. And it says in verse 15, they were fatter in flesh at the end of the 10 days. That's divine intervention. Like, Daniel's cheeks were a little more round at the end of the 10 days. God provided all they needed. God satisfied them with vegetables and water, and God made them stronger with vegetables and water. He satisfied them and equipped them. Here's our second point this morning that we see here in chapter 1. Living in faith is not only recognizing that God's actively in control in our lives, but living in faith is trusting God to satisfy us and equip us with all we need. Here's one of the things that we said to the students Friday night. They're being tempted with all kinds of things in their life as they come of age. To do this, to partake in this, to go this route with their lives, because that way they'll be satisfied. They'll be able to make enough money, or they'll be satisfied by having these kinds of relationships and doing these things. And the challenge to them with this truth is to trust Jesus to satisfy them when they say no. And you may not feel like, as an adult, not all of us are adults in this room, but you may not feel like this necessarily applies to you, but it does apply to us. Because sometimes when a Christian walks in this world, when you and I walk in this world over the period of years with Jesus, we're tempted to be satisfied by the things of this world. And we dip our toes in them. And the next thing we know, we're waiting in them. And the next thing we know, we're depending on all of those things of the world to satisfy us. And we find ourselves not even seeking the Lord at all to satisfy us. We think we have to have the things of the world to be able to survive in this world. And we think and we begin to believe that we can't be equipped by God and His Word to make it in this world. Daniel could have bought into that lie, but he didn't. Daniel's faith in God led him to believe that God would satisfy him and equip him to do all he needed to do in this world, even if he didn't partake in the things of this world. And indeed, God did. Daniel was fatter and stronger at the end of 10 days after eating nothing but vegetables and water. Let's keep reading, see what else happens here. Verse 17. As for these four youths, that's Daniel and his three friends that mentioned earlier in verse 7, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, and the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood, this is at the end of the 3 years, therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdoms. Not just among the youths that they came to Babylon with, but among all of the king's best men in his eyes. They were 10 times better. Verse 21, and Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Let me ask you a question. And I realize that many of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time. But it's always worth us checking our hearts with. In the midst of whatever's going on in your life right now, have you forgotten that the Lord is in control? If so, let me just remind you with God's word. Like, he's still in control. Not only is he in control of the big events in this world, but he's actively working in your life. You should be encouraged in your walk with Jesus this morning. The second question. Are you trusting Jesus to satisfy your soul? Funny thing, in Psalm 37, verses 4 through 7, the psalmist says that God will give us the desires of our heart. And we often think, we read that and we think, all the things that are in my heart that I want, God will give me. But what the psalmist is saying is, he will give us new desires for him and his ways, and he will fill those desires. He will satisfy us completely. Then we get to the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tell us about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus tells us that he's the bread of life, and he's the water, that if we drink of him, we will never be thirsty again. Some of us in this room, I'd be willing to bet that even though we've trusted Jesus, we've stopped drinking from his fountain. I just want to encourage you to go back running to that fountain this morning. Partake of the bread of life that'll never leave you hungry. Nothing in this world will do. Nothing in this world will do. Amen? Maybe you're here, maybe you're listening, but maybe you're here among us this morning and you've yet to trust Jesus with your whole life. You're not a Christian. You haven't surrendered to him yet. The call to you is not to do something for Jesus so that he will bring you into his fold. The call is to do nothing. Simply trust him because he's done everything. So we want to encourage you to Jesus if you haven't trusted him yet. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing as we close our service this morning about how marvelous Jesus is. Maybe you just want to stand and sing to the God who is ever satisfying, always taking care of you. Maybe you need to bow your heart before him and repent in seeking other things when you've been tempted to believe that he's not in control anymore. Or maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, but it's time for you to surrender your life to Jesus. Whatever you need to do with him this morning, follow the Spirit and do that very thing. Let's stand and pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you that you've given us examples in your word of people like Daniel who are sinners, who are frail, just like we are, but trusted you, just put all of their faith in you, and you led them, you provided for them, you satisfied them. Lord, may you give us the faith of Daniel to know that you're actively in control in our lives, to know that you will satisfy us and equip us in every way we needed to be equipped to follow you in this world. Father, increase our love for you, our trust in you, bring more to you today. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing together. I stand amazed in the